The more he thought about it, the more confused the boy became. The tall man came back to the base of the tree. Now he had something in his hands, a shovel and a large cloth bag. He set the bag down on the ground and started digging near the roots of the tree. The shovel cut into the earth with a sharp, clean sound. Now everybody was bound to wake up, the boy thought. It was such a big, clear sound. But no one woke up. The man went on digging without a break, seemingly unconcerned that anyone might hear him. Though tall and thin, he was much more powerful than he looked, judging from the way he used that shovel. He worked steadily without wasted effort. Once he had the size of hole he wanted, the man leaned the shovel against the tree and stood there looking down. He never once looked up, as though he had forgotten all about the man who had climbed the tree. The only thing on his mind now was the hole, it seemed. The boy did not like this. He would have been worried about the man in the tree. The boy could tell from the mound of earth the man had dug that the hole itself was not very deep, maybe just above his own knees. The man seemed satisfied with the shape and size of the hole. He turned to the bag and gently lifted a blackish, cloth-wrapped object from inside it. The way the man held it, it seemed soft and limp. Maybe the man was about to bury some kind of corpse in the hole. The thought made the boy's heart race, but the thing in the cloth was no bigger than a cat. If human, it could only be an infant. But why did he have to bury something like that in my yard? Thought the boy. He swallowed the saliva that he had unconsciously allowed to collect in his mouth. The loud gulp he made frightened the boy himself. It might have been loud enough for the man to hear outside. Just then, as if aroused by the boy's gulp, the wind-up bird cried out, winding an even bigger spring than before. Creak! Creak! When he heard this cry, the boy intuitively felt that something very important was about to happen. He bit his lip and, without realizing, scratched the skin of his arms. He should never have seen any of this, he felt, but now it was too late. Now it was impossible for him to tear his eyes away from the scene before him. He parted his lips and pressed his nose against the cold window pane, transfixed by the strange drama that was now unfolding in his yard. He was no longer hoping for other members of the family to get out of bed. No one would wake up anyway, no matter how big a sound they made out there. I'm the only person alive who can hear these sounds. It was that way from the start. The tall man bent over, and handling it with the utmost care, laid the thing in the black cloth in the bottom of the hole. Then he rose to his full height and stared down at it lying there. The boy could not make out the look on the man's face beneath the brim of his hat, but he seemed somehow to be wearing a grim, even a solemn expression. Yes, it had to be some kind of corpse, thought the boy. Before long, the man reached a decision, lifted the shovel, and began filling in the hole. When he had finished shoveling, he lightly tamped the earth beneath his feet and smoothed it over. Then he set the shovel against the trunk of the tree, and with the cloth bag in his hand, moved away with slow steps. He never looked back. He never looked up into the tree, and the wind-up bird never cried again. The boy turned to look at the clock on his wall. Squinting in the darkness, he could just make out the time as 2:30. He kept watch on the pine tree for another 10 minutes, through the opening in the curtains, in case something should move out there. But an intense sleepiness overtook him all at once, as if a heavy iron lid were closing over his head. He wanted to know what would happen to the short man up in the tree and the wind-up bird, but he couldn't keep his eyes open any longer. Struggling to slip off the cardigan before he lost consciousness, he burrowed under the covers and sank into sleep. 4. Buying new shoes. The thing that came back home. I walked from Akasaka subway station down a lively street lined with restaurants and bars to the place where the office building stood, a short way up a gentle slope. It was an unremarkable building, neither new nor old, big nor small, elegant nor dilapidated. A travel agency occupied part of the ground floor, its large window displaying posters of